The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap-Up Podcast, where every week we hop aboard the Hot Mess Express, we take a journey down 90 Lane, and we figure out how are these couples together, what makes them tick, and for the last week and the next week, how are they all doing in a three-part couples tell-all. I am your conductor and host, Puya Zand Bakili, excited to break everything down today. Because I've got a good friend of mine here today. Someone I did not expect to talk to in these streets. You may know her from her spot as an LFC member for Big Brother Podcasting and resident angry person with 90 Day, which you're going to learn now. It's Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you doing?
Hi, Puya. I am very excited to be here. This has been like a long time coming, I feel. Ever since I heard about that you were doing a 90 Day Fiancé podcast, I was like, oh my God, I have to get on. I have so many things to say. But of course, I was like five seasons behind. So I really just had to like do a quick catch up. And now I'm finally here. And of course, it is on like probably my like maybe least favorite episode I've seen of the show. So, you know, not ideal, but I guess it's fine because we'll talk about other things as well.
Yeah. So this has been a long time coming. We've talked about this extensively throughout the last couple of weeks of having you on the podcast. Definitely this episode, especially because it was in the middle of two tell-alls, was like a weird, it was like slow, but not slow, but also juicy with some content, but not enough. So it was a strange place. But of course, I'm going to want to ask you about a lot of your opinions here about all the couples, because I know you've been spending the last month or so catching up. So if there's any couples that were not featured heavily in this recap, do not worry, because we will find out what Melissa's thoughts are about all of it.
Yes, and I have a lot of thoughts on those. I told you, Puya, about this. Like, I feel like I'm watching a totally different show sometimes as everybody on Reddit and elsewhere on the internet, because I have like the opposite opinion for like a lot of the couples. I'm so shocked whenever I check the subreddit and I'm like, wait, what? Like, how are they thinking these things? Like, how are they on this person's side or that person's side or whatever? Because I just see it a totally different way. So for a lot of these couples, and maybe I'm like looking at a minority of people that are saying these things, and I'm just like thinking that it's the whole group. So you can correct me on that and like let me know that I'm not crazy. But I mean, for some of these people, I'm shocked when I see what the public thinks of them.
Yeah, I'll definitely let you know what I feel about your opinions, whether I agree with you or disagree. It'll make for a fun discovery, because I've on purpose not asked you anything because I've wanted to find all of it out on the podcast. So before we proceed, I want to give some quick housekeeping notes to the listeners. So we're recording about part two of the couple's tell-all. I did not realize until the end of my watch that part three was happening the next day, aka tonight.
So, oh my God, I didn't know that either.
No, for some reason they decided, yeah, we're going to just do this back to back. And I was like, then why did you not just make it on one night? I don't know. So that's happening, meaning you're going to get two podcasts this week. I've got Melissa here with me today. We're going to break down everything about part two. And then you've got Liana coming on a couple days later. Ooh. And we're going to talk part three to cap off Happily Ever After. So, you get two podcasts this week. courtesy of TLC. So thank you, TLC, for doing this to us.
I feel like this middle tell-all definitely could have been pushed, like cut into two, like put them into the two other tell-alls. Like this one really, there wasn't really that much information we got in this one. It was just like, I mean, we could have cut out the entire sex section.
Oh, that was the strangest thing I've ever seen.
It's like, okay, I'm just going to say, this quarantine, how has it affected your sex life? How many times a week do you have sex? I was like, oh my God, I don't want to know. I don't even want to think about it. Like, I want nothing to do with this conversation. So, I mean, I don't know why she even thought that was like a fun question to ask. Like, I care nothing for their sex life. Like, that is not why I watched the show. The whole thing was very odd, and they could have cut that whole section out.
Yeah. So before we proceed into talking about the tell-all, I have to know, what are your opinions on the host, Sean Robinson? How do you feel about her journalism and her interviewing skills?
Well, okay. So first of all, I do want to say that, like, I listened to your guys' podcast about the first part of the tell-all, mm-hmm. and I totally agree about the editing. It is so bad. What? I don't know what the deal is and why they think it's like, I think that this has to do with the fact that they think it's like fun and quirky to like pretend that we're like behind the scenes of a tell all, like where they're like, okay, and we're going to start in 3, 2, 1. Like, where's Asuelu? Does anyone know where he is? Like, hello, calling Asuelu. Like, they try and like make it seem like we're like sitting there at the soundstage or whatever. And maybe they were trying to get that across for like Zoom as well. You know, it's like they couldn't do the whole like backstage, we're watching them in the dressing room thing. So instead they just like had these like pauses. So it looked like we were just sitting there in the room. But like the editing was bad as well, in that like some of the parts, I didn't believe they were saying that. I just thought it was really choppy. Like, I didn't believe that they were responding with certain things that they were trying to pretend like they were responding with. And like the fights were very awkward and stilted. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I mean, there must have been something. Maybe they were trying to make it so that like everyone could be heard, but I feel like they didn't. A fight is like overlapping talking, and I didn't hear like overlapping talking. I heard like one person would say one thing, and then there'd be like a 5-second pause, and then the next person would respond. It's like, that is not the way fights go. So I don't know why they do that, and it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I feel like to me, 90 Day Fiance is the biggest marketing lie in the business, as far as, you know, like every scene being set up, like they do a buildup in the next time on, and then they do 4 buildups during the episode before going to commercial break each time. It's like, listen, I'm already here. You don't have to keep hyping me up. I'm staying. I'm committed here. Like, I'm not leaving.
I'm watching this show. I'm not going to like turn away before you get to the drama. Like, I hate how they do that. I feel like I can recite each scene word for word, because I see them so many times whenever they're trying to like build you up before commercial. It's so annoying. And you know, in regards to Sean, like, I mean, I think I do like how she will kind of like express her opinion on people. Like, she's not just totally objective, which I do like. If someone says something that's like cuckoo bananas or whatever, she'll address it and show that it is cuckoo bananas. You know what I mean? Like, she's not just going to sit there and like be like, okay, great, that's a great point, let me turn to the next person. She'll be like, okay. You know, it's like, I do appreciate that. But I don't know how I feel about her as a host, because I feel like sometimes she doesn't press enough.
Yeah, she definitely comes on and off. Like, she like fixates on the wrong things to me. I like that she is paying attention, and there is back and forth, and there are live reactions. But oftentimes I find myself being like, wait, you're focusing on the wrong thing here. So I mm-hmm. think that's a qualm I may have. So we started this episode with, so last episode we were left behind with Kalani and Asuelu, and oh, is Asuelu going to come back? What do you think your future holds? And all that stuff. What has your thoughts been as a whole on Asuelu and Kalani throughout your happily ever after journey here?
Oh my God. Kalani needs to get out. Like, not that I don't like Kalani. Kalani needs to get away from Asuelu. Like, mm-hmm. him and his family. Like, first of all, his family is like, oh my God, they're so wrong. Like, I mean, I just feel like Kalani handled herself so well with his family. I don't think I could have done that. I would have been furious. I mean, they're sitting there saying, you're lazy because you're not giving us your money and you are like, I don't care about your kids. That is so heartless. And I just feel like, so I get that it's like, it's part of their culture that you would help out the parents. And like, that makes sense to me. Absolutely. But what doesn't make sense is like, you have to first help the parents. If you, even if you can't afford it, give what you can afford. You know what I mean? Like, they shouldn't have to give it more than they can. Like, I feel like, yes, give what you can, whatever, but first take care of your own family and then give to the parents and siblings or whatever. I just think like, I, maybe it's because like, I just don't understand like that culture, but it does seem to me that like what comes first should be like making sure that you have enough to feed your children and then you give to the parents. And then also like, I mean, the fact that they're just like, either you give us your money or you get divorced. And sorry, I'm just going to like ramble for like,
oh,
ever,
keep probably. Going.
Like, basically they say to Kalani that like, well, what does this have to do with you? It's not your money. Yes, it is. Asuelu's not making any money. He's not bringing any money in. Like, this is all coming from Kalani. So yes, it is her money. It's the family money because like, you know, the family, like, you know, the children and Asuelu use the money as well. And so do her parents, but like, because they live at her parents' house. But like, I mean, it's her money. She earned it. And it's crazy to me to think that like, oh, well, you don't get a say in it because it's Asuelu's money. And it's going to his family. Like, that's outrageous.
Yeah. No, honestly, it's been an incredible ride with Kalani and Asuelu for me, because I remember the first season being, again, and I mentioned this before, big fan of Asuelu at the time. Big fan of Asuelu. He's like a lovable dummy. I loved him. I felt bad for him because clearly I could see the struggle of him like realizing what's going on. But then the cute factor was out the window once you're in happily ever after and you have two like kids that you're raising and you have a wife and you're, so you have responsibilities and he's not doing all that. And then, you know, we have the families doing their own thing and they're causing a lot of problems and they're willing to overlook their own like kin, their own grandchildren for the sake of money. And then, you know, Asuelu's now, we're talking about like the lockdown and quarantine and he's like breaking social distancing.
Infuriating.
Yeah, which is just
he's like, well, what's the difference between going to the grocery store and going and playing volleyball? It's like, because one is what you literally need to survive, food,
right?
And it's one is necessary. Just you playing with your friends. Like, that is totally different. And also, it's sustained contact with people in volleyball, and you're sweating and you're breathing heavy, and you're probably not wearing a mask, and you're in close proximity for an extended period of time. Whereas if you're going to the grocery store, you are literally just grabbing items with a mask on, in and out, and the grocery store is cleansing everything. Like, it's very different. It's like totally like incomparable.
Yeah. No, and I honestly feel like the fact that if you're in a position where you're trying to go tit for tat to justify something, then you're losing. You're in the wrong side of history. Like, to be like, well, you don't listen to me when I say that I'm superstitious, therefore I'm not going to listen to you. It's a one for one. Like, you don't pick and choose like that.
No.
And
you know what's interesting is like, I never liked Asuelu. I always thought he was just like a little child. Like, I was like, Kalani, what are you doing? I thought that Kalani was seemingly like really responsible. And I mean, I just thought that she was really well spoken. And, you know, I was shocked that she would get into a relationship with Asuelu just because he didn't seem to be at her maturity level, like at all. And I can't even imagine being in a relationship with someone like that. Like, it was just basically like having another child. And I was shocked to see that everyone was siding with Asuelu and not Kalani. I just felt for her the entire time that like, when she was having her brother, this is a while back, when she was having like her brother, I believe, or it was her brother-in-law, I don't remember, like go check on Asuelu at the store with the kids. Do you remember that? Where they were like at the clothing store. I was like, yes, that makes sense. I don't trust Asuelu with the children at all. Like, she needs to know if she can trust him like with these kids. And everyone was like, that is totally outrageous. He is the father. He should, if like, if you don't know how to take, like, I was thinking of Asuelu as like a young child at that point because he was acting like a young child. And then his whole thing about not working and just like raking apples. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Like, why is it? He's like, well, I rake the apples. Is that a job? Like, is that what people do? Like, I don't understand how that is considered like a lot of work. It's like, and when Kalani was like, you could literally not touch the apples and just leave them on the ground and I would be fine. I was like, okay, this is so funny. Like this whole conversation is about apples now. But yeah, I just was never a fan of Asuelu. And like, I felt like, I'm sorry, Puya. As you can tell, I have like so many thoughts that have been like running in my head and like nobody else I know watches 90 Day Fiancé. So it's just me by myself. But like the conversation in the car was totally inappropriate. And, you know, when he shuts down every time he gets upset, it's like so childish. It's like a teenager. I can't get behind him.
I mean, and that's the thing, right, is that I think a lot of people came to his defense at the start because they're like, oh, he'll learn. But then when, you know, it's like a year and change later and we're on a new season and he hasn't learned. And mm-hmm. but he's like, he has kids to take care of that are getting older and a whole family. And now he's like, and now he supposedly has to take care of his like, his parents and his family in Samoa. It's like, okay, well, all of this is, you know, things adults would and could do, but also you're not doing it right, buddy. And right. like the time to learn is starting to pass. Cause I think his big redemption for me this season was when they did first go visit his mom's side of things and he defended Kalani. And I was like, hey, look at him. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's figuring it out. But then the minute that last night before they left where they argued about who would beat up who.
Oh, that was the stupidest thing.
So that ridiculous.
So stupid. Like, and I was so disappointed because yeah, you're right. After when he defended Kalani and it was like, I thought that would be such a great moment for the two of them to come together and be like, okay, we both are on the same page on this. Like, and I felt like Kalani was overstepping when she went to go talk to the family, but maybe she was, I don't know. But in my opinion, like, I didn't think that she was because I thought she handled it well. And it did. And it still does seem like Asuelu cannot stand up to his parents or his mom and his sister. It seems like he's very timid and meek when it comes to them. So like, I could see why that he would like send Kalani or maybe she would send herself to go speak with them. And I thought that that was going to be like an empowering moment for the two of them. Like, look what we will come together and we will explain to them that this is our family. Like we are taking care of us and our children. And you guys, we will help you as much as we can, but we cannot put you guys first before us, like our family unit that we are building together. And that's what I thought was going to happen. And then when Kalani comes back to the house and they start arguing about who's going to beat up who, it's like, okay, are these like children? Like, are these guys in elementary school or something? It was like, why is that even like something to even talk about? Like, that would never cross my mind to like have a conversation with someone and be like, yeah, well, I could actually beat them up. Like, okay, but that's super immature. So don't mention that. Like, I don't know. It just seemed wrong.
Yeah. So my question to you now is that, so we, in this reunion, in this talk, when we get back into stuff, they kind of start asking, about like to the mom about what's been going on. And then Tammy steps in. So Asuelu's getting emotional and he says that, you know, he doesn't like seeing this. He wishes that his mom didn't say the stuff she did. And then Tammy abruptly, you know, interrupts. That's what Tammy does. That's what we've learned about her.
Insufferable.
I think Tammy's like the one binding unit where everyone in that cast, and I think everyone on Reddit, feels the same way about her.
Yeah.
She's the worst.
Like, why isn't she helping? It's like, why are they just so reliant on Asuelu? Like, when he clearly doesn't work.
Yeah, and like she's literally a walking paradox because she can involve herself in Asuelu's life and her mom's life and answer for her mom. But if Asuelu says something, she says, you can't talk about mom like that. You can't tell mom what to do. It's like, well, aren't you telling mom to demand this ransom from your brother? Aren't you behind this? Like, it kind of feels like Tammy's the one pushing.
Right. It feels like Tammy is like basically telling the mom how she should be feeling about this Asuelu situation. Like, it does seem to me like when you get the mom alone and when you had the mom, you know, talking on this tell-all, it did seem like she really cared about Asuelu and the children and she felt bad about what she had said or the way that things went and that she, you know, will accept whatever. I don't know if it's the editing or if it's or what, when she, you know, in the actual episode was saying like, I just give me the money, just give me, you know, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. Or if this, you know, apology or whatever is fake. I don't know. But I did like what she was saying. And I did seem like Tammy was the one who was like egging everything on, and just being generally terrible. So another thing is that I didn't like that the mom was giving an apology, genuine or not, whatever. She was at least making an attempt, and Kalani like takes out the popcorn to like be funny. And it's like, that is the wrong timing. That should have been done when they were saying, I'm going to beat you up. Not when they're saying like, I apologize.
No, that was kind of cringy for me as well. I'm not going to lie. The fact that it's like a comically large, like it's one of those like comically large animated. This is what popcorn would look like in a cartoon or movie. So I didn't appreciate that at all. I do agree that it should have come out at another time if she wanted to do a prop thing, which I, you know, I'm not above doing props. I like a good gag if I can. But also, I felt like that was just kind of disrespectful because I was going to ask you, how do you feel about the mom and whether or not Lucina was actually being sincere in her comments? I think personally, I think she might not believe what she's saying, but she's realized that she was very close to losing her son and is not willing to do anything to keep her son around.
Yeah, it's hard to say because it's like, you know, I do feel like a lot of people will say whatever in front of the camera just to like, I mean, you know, to because they possibly they realized how poorly it was coming off, that whole like confrontation. And I would hope that it's genuine. It's hard to say, but at the same time, it's like, you know, the fact that she is willing to even put herself out there and say that she was wrong and that she's sorry or whatever, I think that's significant and it shouldn't just be like brushed to the side. I do think that Kalani probably should have, you know, been a little more accepting of it, even if it's just for like the time being, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a bad look when someone apologizes to you and it's a long and sincere apology. It wasn't just like, oh, sorry. It was like, actually she was speaking from her heart.
Hopefully.
And you know, Kalani's just like, yeah, whatever. It's in poor taste, I think.
Yeah, no, and I do think that ultimately, if I want to play devil's advocate and like look at it from the other side, I understand that she's frustrated with this whole ass family, right? Because Asuelu's being a baby, Tammy's being some like, she thinks she's some like backyard brawler and she's going to whoop everybody up. So it's hard for her. And like the catalyst of all this was the mom wanting money. That's caused this whole divide, right? So even if the mom's taking a step back now, she's still like, those wounds are not healed for her. So I get it, especially like, you know, seconds later, this is when Asuelu decides, I'm just going to leave. Like, I'm not about this anymore.
That is so childish. The whole like, I'm going to block you on every form of social media.
Oh
thing,
my God.
That's so childish.
Yeah. I feel like not since high school have I seen a couple react to each other this way. In high school, it was definitely like, you know, my friend would be like, yeah, he's blocked me now. He's mad at me because I said this to him. And I was like, that's ridiculous. In high school, I thought it was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So, you know, about 10 years later, looking at it, it's still ridiculous, especially someone my age is doing
children,
it.
Like a married couple with children, there could be, like they said on the show, there could be an emergency or something, and you wouldn't be able to get in contact with them. And it's like, you're also living in the same house, you dummy. It's like, are you for real?
Yeah. I'm not sure what the deal is there, but I mean, it's strange to me that they live in the same house, but then like he up and leaves whenever he wants and just takes the keys and goes off on a drive. And like, to me, there's just a certain level of, at what point do you realize, hey, even if I'm feeling these feelings, we're in a pandemic. Maybe let's not cause more stress to the household as is, because you're all confined in the same house together. So if you're going to have the house have bad vibes and then you're going to leave, which will contribute to the bad vibes, and then none of you can really leave to take a break because you're stuck in this house, that's just a recipe for disaster to me.
It's disappointing because so originally I was like, okay, they're not going to last. They need to break up. Like, this is bad for Kalani. And then I saw, you know, this season in particular, you know, when they went to therapy and stuff, I was like, you know, they actually are trying. And, you know, it shows that they really care about each other. And, you know, if Asuela was really willing to, you know, put in the work, you know, I could see them working out and that would be great. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, now like it's all over and everything is really bad for them. So it's disappointing because it was like the one time I was actually turning around on them.
Yeah, no, it's very fascinating seeing the rise and fall of this couple. I think I'm at a point now where, because now this is the question I'm going to start asking on the way out of the Happily Ever After is, do I want to see them again? And mm-hmm. should we see them again? And I think the answer for both is no. I think if we were to see them again, I would like it to be in a Colt and Larissa situation where they're separated, if that happens. Obviously, I'm never one to root against couples having a Happily Ever After, but this one sounds like it's a lost cause.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's like, it just seems like they are two very different people. And, you know, if they haven't been able to, if number one, they haven't been able to figure out by now between the two of them. And number two, it doesn't seem like they want to, you know what I mean? Like, it's like at that point, when do you say like, just forget it? And the problem with this situation is that there are children involved. So it's a lot harder to just like walk away. You know, it's not like you can just be like, okay, well, bye, I'll never see you again. It's like there's actual children who would like bind the two of them together for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly. So then ultimately we get the whole like Tammy's getting mad and then Kalini steps in and Tammy says she would beat her up too. And then Andre steps
in. That's like her one move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and she used it on like
eight people. I'm going to beat you up. It's like, okay. Like, what are you even talking about? We're literally on Zoom right now.
Yeah. And like that, nothing screams sadder to me than people threatening to beat each other up. And then, like, here's the thing. I'm anti beating one another up, regardless of what. I fully subscribe to words can solve the things. Use your words.
And words are more devastating, really.
Yeah, honestly, there's more post-trauma with words.
definitely.
But then, like, the things I hate is, like, if you're going to keep talking about beating people up, then beat them up. You know, like, don't just be standing there making empty threats to 17 people.
Yeah, like, and especially, like, when you're on video chat. Like, it means absolutely nothing to say, like, oh, I'm going to take you. And it's like, what are you even talking about? We're not even in the same room. We probably won't be in the same room for a very, very long time. Like, just stop.
No, she's unhinged. I mean, when they asked her, why did you want to beat up Kalini? And she's like, because she was leaving. I'm like, that's all it took? That was your threshold?
You're walking away.
You're walking away while we're both being heated? Oh, it's over for you now. Like, what is that? it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, she is unhinged. I don't understand her at all. And she just gets worse and worse, honestly, every time I like see her. I'm just like, this girl, I mean, poor Asuelu at that point. Like, that, it's interesting how Asuelu and his mother seem to be very similar, whereas like she is totally, she must take after the father because like I have no idea what her deal is.
Yeah, I don't know. But then, so yeah, so then this whole like chain of everyone wanting to beat each other up happens. Then Debbie chimes in. And I have my opinions on this because I've made it clear. I'm not a fan of Tammy, but Debbie did this thing where I hate this line. Doesn't matter what country you're in when people say it, but go back to where you come from. If you can't afford to be here, like
not the answer.
No,
like, it is. When she said that, I was like, ooh, don't love it.
Yeah.
So this is not the right line, Debbie.
No, it was like she had the right intention, but used entirely the wrong language. It was like one of those moments where you're about to clap, but you're like, wait, should I be clapping about
that? Yeah, you're like, I'm glad people are standing up for Kalani here, but it's like, oh, that is not appropriate.
Yeah. I was like, wait, at what cost? Am I okay with this? No.
Yeah,
okay.
No, yeah. Not great.
Yeah. And then I like that, what's her name? Angela goes full Katniss Everdeen as a tribute and goes, I will take Debbie's place. Come kick my ass.
And then she holds up her arms like she's showing her muscles or whatever. I was like, oh my God, what has this devolved into?
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Reunion Angela is my least favorite Angela because she's totally acting it up for the camera every chance she gets. And I don't like it.
Yeah, I've told you this off pod, but like I have literally zero interest in Angela and Michael's storyline. And I basically fast forward all of their parts because I'm just like, I don't care and I don't believe it. And it's so confusing to me that it's like, it does seem to me like he is really in it for the child. Like he wants to have a kid. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so if that's the case, like, why did you pick someone who was over 50? Like, it makes absolutely no sense why he picked someone who lives in America who's over 50 years old, who like, that is a completely dangerous time to have a child. You should not, you know, like, it's like, that is a risky, risky age for sure. And I'm sure like her, you know, her general health and everything is not great for that as well. And I just think that if he really wanted to be with her for the kid, which it does seem like to me, like I don't see like love there necessarily. Then why didn't he pick someone else? It just, the whole thing confuses me. And I don't feel like, it doesn't seem to me like a couple who like actually wants to try and like be together and make it work. It seems to me like there's some ulterior motive that we like have not, we either don't know yet, or it is the child thing. Like he wants to have a kid and he still thinks there's some way to have it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so you've mentioned this to me how you don't really want to talk about this couple, or you've not really, this is not a couple that sparks joy for you. This is not a couple that you've signed up to talk about. So I know we're going to like, we'll go through their whole story real quick. As far as the remainder of Oswelo and Kalani goes, we've honestly talked about everything that I can see here. The whole thing with, so just the whole, like I, you know, as someone who's in a relationship, I couldn't handle watching Oswelo sit next to Kalani and just not react to her getting emotional about stuff. Like that was honestly a ton of nonsense to me. Like I was getting mad seeing him. So I fully understood why Lisa said what she said about him, you know, being, it feeling disgusting to her that he's just sitting there stoic, showing zero emotion.
I could not, I would be so angry all the time if I was with Oswelo, just because like if someone won't react to what I'm saying, and I feel like he never reacts to anything that anyone's saying until he like starts crying. And it's like, until that point, you're just gonna like, at least for me, like I feel like I would just keep trying to like push every button I could to try and get a reaction out of him. And that is not a good, healthy relationship, because you know, if I'm telling somebody something, if I'm mad at someone about something or I'm upset about something, like, and they're giving me literally nothing in response, it makes me more mad. It makes me more upset. So like, I absolutely could not be in a relationship with someone like Oswelo. Like it just, oh God, it would be a nightmare.
No, big nightmare. And we were watching it unravel in front of us. So then we talked about him dipping, and honestly, that's the end of their story for now. And then we can talk about now, we'll move on to a couple that I'm not sure where your mind is at with them, but it's like a weird square triangle, like pentagon. I don't know how many people are involved in this one, but let's call it the Colt and Jess conversation and reunion. So what has been your thoughts about both? We'll do both. Do Colt and Jess first, and then Larissa and Eric-y.
Eric-y. Colt is... I always felt like a little bad for Colt, but I feel like he came off really poorly in this reunion, because number one, he kept calling her sweetheart, which made me infuriated. And number two, I mean, obviously, he's a cheater who sends a bunch of dick pics. Like, and then they're like, why did you do that? And he's like, that's just my way of, you know, showing affection and getting attention. I'm like, that's disgusting. Nobody wants a picture of Colty's dick. Like, that is the truth. And, you know, as much as people are like soliciting it, if people are soliciting it, it's so they can post it online and like make fun of him. I swear there's no reason that anybody wants that. And it's like, I don't feel bad for him at all. I actually felt bad for Jess, which was shocking to me because I always was never a fan of hers. Mm-hmm. And I felt like she really was. I mean, it was very clear that she really just wanted a green card. Like, at least throughout the series for me, that like she really just wanted to come to the US and that was it, because her whatever student visa or work visa or whatever was expiring. And if I don't believe for one second what Colt was saying about, oh, it's just a summer fling. If it's a summer fling, don't ask her father to marry her. Like, what is wrong with you? And he and Debbie have that bizarre relationship together. Debbie gets way too involved in everything. And, you know, the whole thing was just bad. I don't believe that Colt broke Jess's heart. I think that she's trying to gain sympathy. I thought that, you know, both of them were totally toxic for each other. And it was just a nightmare situation. They don't fit together. Like, I feel like Colt just, like, he goes for looks and he doesn't go based off of, like, personality at all. And so he's never going to find love until he just, like, gets to know a person before immediately trying to marry them and bring them into America. Like, it's just so bizarre to me, that whole story.
Yeah, no, it's been, I was about to say fascinating, but then that implies that I enjoyed it. It's been strange. It's been very strange tracking. First of all, it's very clear to me that TLC loves the Colt messiness and the Larissa messiness because they shouldn't be on the season. They're separated.
They shouldn't. So, they're not happily ever after. They're with other people.
Yeah. So the fact that they're both on here gives me pause. And then I saw a post on the subreddit that was like, it was someone said they have an in with TLC and they have it on good authority that a Colt spinoff is in the works. So
what?
The fact is, for some reason, Colt's not leaving, right? So then, and you look at it and everything you just explained spells disaster human, but like TV gold because you're letting it happen all on TV. I think that it was weird with this episode of the tell-all for me, Melissa, because I'm watching Colt and for some reason, I felt like he is a little bit like sociopathic in a way where like everything he explains, like this is, it gives him identity to be called someone's boyfriend, to be called someone's husband, partner. Mm-hmm. So he like yearns for that. Doesn't, and he doesn't even think about if he's compatible with the person. He basically admitted that, hey, I was in this relationship because Vanessa friend zoned me. So that's not great. But then when they had that one spot in the segment where they went to commercial and it was just him and Jess talking, I felt a sincerity about him wanting to make up with Jess. Definitely he does not care about Larissa. If Larissa chimes in, he's cussing her out. But with Jess, I think he understands that he's hurt her a lot. And because he confessed to cheating on her with Vanessa live, I think we're watching him have remorse live. Usually we see him collect himself, come out of tell all and look like some villain douche and just be that douche that we know he is. Whereas here, I feel like just because he did the apology live, we're seeing how his feelings are before he covers them up by being an idiot. Because I will say, you said, who's asking for the Colty pictures? Well, his OnlyFans is still going on. So Colt has an OnlyFans. And that's the thing that's happening.
I heard of that. Yeah. And my thought is that people are on there to send that stuff around and getting posted online because I've seen stuff from that. So like, I don't feel like people are on there because they genuinely like him and are interested in seeing his body. Like, I do not think that's the case at all. I mean, maybe there are some people out there who are, but like, who are these people? Raise your hand, you know, like send me a message and let me know that you're out there. I just feel like it's like, that is not, I feel like it's people wanting to watch like a train wreck. You know what I mean? It's they're not subscribing to his OnlyFans because they want like quality content. I feel like they're subscribing to his OnlyFans as like kind of like a, you're watching through your fingers and like laughing. You know what I mean? Like I just, I don't know. Maybe that's mean. Maybe I'm being too harsh on him. I felt bad for him before this season. And now after watching the season, I feel like he's cruel. I feel like he doesn't think that, I don't think he thinks of girls as people with feelings and people who, you know, should have respect. Like, I feel like he thinks of them as like, you know, sex dolls and that's all he wants to treat them as. Do you know? Like, I just feel like he wants them to be like his trophy wife or whatever. He wants like a hot girl to like tote around and then have sex with her. And I don't think that he actually thinks of them as human beings.
Yeah. And I think that I feel like there's a lot of, you know, damage bits to Colt where I think that he needs to figure them out. And the fact that it's all unraveling on television is not the best place for him to be. But again, like this has given him, we talked about Colt he mentioned as a 35-year-old, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm doing. So I think that this whole show has given him a platform, given him an identity that he somehow needs to thrive. So he's in a relationship because he needs to thrive as a boyfriend, as an identity. He needs to be on the show to have this identity as a TV personality. So I don't think he knows what to do with himself when he's alone, when the cameras are off, when no one's looking at him. I don't think he understands how to thrive as a person. So it's very problematic for him. Because I think that, you know, because he can't pause to fix himself, he's just going to end up in bad encounter to bad encounter to bad encounter, not knowing how to cope with things. Because it's one thing if it was just a cheat in the sense that him and Vanessa, like he had a thing for her for a long time. He comes back from Brazil. They do a thing. But then we're talking these 8 screenshots. There's probably more out there. There's a lot going on there. Then Larissa comes on and is talking about the fact that she had to GPS him because he was lying about being at work and he was like, you know, walking all over town doing whatever he wanted. So he's a compulsive liar. He doesn't stop. He doesn't really respect his, you know, partner. And he doesn't, you know, he doesn't give himself the time to sit down and realize, okay, how do I feel about her? Do I love her? Do I like her? Do I want to spend my life with her? He's just like, I'm boyfriend. Okay. Next step in boyfriend is typically husband, right? Yeah, F it. I'll do that. It doesn't matter. Like there's no care in the actions. It's just like I guess because TV told me this is the next step, I should do it.
Right. Exactly. And that's why it's like, I mean, when he sits there and he asks her father for permission to marry her, like, it's like, okay. And then you're going to sit there and say that it was just a fling. Like, sorry, sweetheart. It was just a summer fling. It's like, that is so unbelievably cruel. Like, you don't ask someone's hand in marriage unless you love them and see a future with them, unless, like you were saying, that he just sees it as like a next step in the process and he doesn't actually have the feelings behind it. Like, I don't understand it. And it makes me sad because, like, in the previous seasons, like, I did feel for Cole and I did think that Larissa, like, was not right for him. And I thought that she was a little aggressive. I mean, at the same time, it's like, now I'm starting to like look back and believe Larissa more when it comes to the Colt stuff. Like the fact that Colt was saying like he was like a millionaire or whatever. Like at first I was like, okay, maybe she like misinterpreted what he was trying to tell her. Like maybe she just thought because he lives in America, he's a millionaire. Like he's a compulsive liar. Like I think he may have told her, I'm a millionaire and now I can give you everything you want when you come here. And then she arrived and it was like a car without air conditioning and couldn't even buy a sofa. Like I do feel like that is possible. And then, you know, the whole him calling the police on her every time they fight, like I didn't see footage of the fight, but like I could believe that maybe the police shouldn't have been called. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know anymore just because like I used to trust Colt's word for everything, but now he lies about everything. And then not only that, like once he admits that everything was a lie, then the girl gets upset. He then is like, she just yelled at me the whole time. She was just really mad at me. It's like, like you should say she has a right to be mad. Like when he talked about how, oh, you've only been in Las Vegas for a few hours and you've been yelling at me the whole time. It's like, no, duh. You literally just told her that you cheated on her. Like, it's like, what is wrong with you?
No. Yeah. It's again, it's sad because like, I do think that earlier in the season when Larissa was calling Jess to warn her, I was like, what are you meddling in his relationships for? I mean, it turned out she was right. And I never thought I would be in a position where I would think that she was right.
Yeah, it was actually very interesting. Like, I'm glad you brought that phone call up because it was interesting rewatching that with the information we know now, like on the tell-all, like versus when Larissa was like meddling it, when I thought like, oh, she's just meddling. When we first saw it on the show, I was like, what is she even doing? Why is she calling Jess? Like now looking back on it, I'm like, oh, poor Jess. She was so naive and Larissa was trying to warn you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that in the middle of all this, the Vanessa storyline is very interesting to me because so their relationship could not be more complicated. So the way the timeline that we know or what I based on the information that we've gathered is that Vanessa is someone who reached out to him at some point around the second arrest that Larissa had because that kind of went viral. And then Colt paid no mind, really. It wasn't until the third arrest where she was advocating for him to divorce and like they started getting to know each other more and more. Colty clearly was harboring some feelings for Vanessa, because once the divorce happens, he asks her out. She friend zones him, says no, starts dating another guy who Colt doesn't like that it's happening. And then Colt starts seeing Jess, right? So this is happening. And then when they're being asked by Sean, she's like, what do you feel for Colt? She says, I love him as a best friend. I would not trust him as a girlfriend, but I'm not his girlfriend, so I don't care what he's done, which I honestly understood her point, because she is his friend. So therefore, I don't think she agrees with the problems that with the Colt's like relationship with women, because if she agreed with it, she would not say that I wouldn't date him. You know, she would be like, yeah, I'll date him. She's clearly like, I will never date this man because he is odd. So this is not something I subscribe to. So this is earlier. I talked about how Sean did this, like, doesn't know which things to pay attention to, because this is where Sean was like, wait, I'm confused. So you love him, but you don't trust him. You trust him. I don't, you wouldn't be with him, but you trust him. That doesn't make sense. I was like, Sean, as a friend, like not as a partner. So
yeah, exactly. Like, you can be friends with someone and be like, oh, I don't love the way that they handled that relationship or whatever. Like, it, as long as you're not planning on dating them, like, obviously you don't want your friends like doing bad stuff or like not respecting their relationships or whatever. But I do get what she's saying, where it's like, well, she's not the one who's dating him.
Right. And that's the thing, is that I feel like I've had a couple friends along the way who I was like, oh, you are a horrible partner to your boyfriend or your girlfriend. I'm like, yikes. And then, you know, I'll give them advice. And, you know, the worst type of friend is the ones you give advice to and they don't listen to you. And you're like, why did I spend 2 hours talking to you about this? So, but I definitely get it, right? It's not my relationship. You're my friend. When it comes down to stuff that's between you and I, like, hey, are we going to go catch this movie? You're trying to come over and watch this film. Are we going to be hanging out with these people later? Are we going to this party together? That stuff that's between us. This is between you and your partner, and you're going to do what you're going to do, whether I subscribe to it or not, but I'm not going to do that in my relationship.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously this doesn't apply to, like, you know, abusive relationships or whatever, but you know,
that's a different,
you know what I mean? Yeah.
For sure.
Like, I totally get what you're saying. And like, I also feel like that is very telling in and of itself, that she said that she wouldn't want to be in a relationship with him because he's a bad boyfriend and she doesn't trust him. Like, it just goes to show that Larissa and Jess, like, they're in, well, they're not totally in the right, but you know what I mean? They're more in the right than Colty is. Like, he obviously is in the wrong here, and he did wrong by these women.
Right. And that's the thing, is that because the most complex thing is trying to wrap my head around. So I know Colty's confirmed evil now, but does that mean, am I revisiting the case file of one Larissa and one Jess? And is that changing? I think in the case of Jess, to be honest, it is changing. I think Jess was completely screwed over. And I think that while I do agree that the sentiments in that relationship, I think she liked him, but I think she was definitely trying to speed that process up to get the marriage done, because we knew her visa was expiring. So I think, like, she was like, well, we're together now. Might as well put a ring on it so that I can stay and we can be together.
Like,
so
I don't feel like her motives are totally pure, but I will say that, like, I hated the idea that, and now looking back on it, like, it's even worse, I feel. Like, when Colt was like, I'm going to have her come out to Las Vegas, and so that I can tell her this news and she will be less likely to break up with me because she's here in person. Like, can you imagine? He made her fly all the way out there just so he could explain to her that he, like, is a liar and cheater. Like, that's so awful. Don't make her come all the way out there to Las Vegas and stay with you and Debbie at your mom's house.
And Vanessa was living there at the time.
I mean, honestly, it's like, it's poor Jess. I felt bad for Jess at that point. Like, at the stuff, I did feel like she went a little, like, nutso when she, like, threw the shoe and was, like, yelling at him in Brazil. Like, I did feel like, okay, this is, like, a little far. And then even before that, I did think that she was in the right. Like, I mean, not in the right, I guess, but it's like, I did feel like she had reason to be upset with him, not to that level probably.
Right.
But, I did feel like she was disrespectful at that, like, family dinner.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, to talk more about them, the fact that she put her family through cameras and a reality show for this guy.
Yeah.
And this guy, like, you know, plays with her like this. So that's the thing, is that he lied about him talking to Vanessa. And mm-hmm. that was why he got the shoes thrown at him. Mm-hmm. This is before they had done anything romantically with each other. But then after he does that, she's like, I was right. I was right from the second that I thought that this was a problem. Mm-hmm. I was right when I told you not to talk to her and you told me you weren't. And then what was the thing he said that he was emotionally cheating or an emotional affair?
Yeah, it's bad. The whole thing is bad. I mean, both those relationships are just like, they're toxic. It's not good.
Yeah, it's not good at all. And honestly, I don't understand why Detective Debbie is in this reunion at all. Like, she's not with anyone. She's not in a coupling. She literally, all she's done is cast suspicion on Jess and then continue to blame Jess and say, Jess, you've lied, if not more than Colt, which I'm sorry, Debbie, but it's time to realize you've raised a bit of a douchebag. Simply put, you got to see
what your son is like. Yeah, like, look at your son. Look at what you've done. This is not good. It's so bad.
Yeah. So then ultimately, I think this is all we got with this. Colty does kind of end the episode, the tell-all, or this episode at least, saying, you know, he's trying to be a better person after all this. Jess, you know I played you. I know I messed with you. I'm sorry. I thought I was in love with you. I wasn't. Like, he's like trying to take the blame. He feels awful about it. He says, I'm trying to be a better person. And I think that this is why that one person being like, I think there's a cult show happening. You know, you think about those workout routines that we saw in these episodes and him trying to better himself. He's lost a lot of weight, as mm-hmm. evident by his Instagram since we've last seen him. And, you know, he's trying to be a better person. That's a great narrative for him to now come into a new show. It's a spinoff of his life and we see what happens for him.
Oh boy, I have not seen his Instagram, so I don't know the whole culty behind the scenes story, but I don't know if I'm super interested in seeing that.
I mean, I'm not interested in any of these spinoffs, to be honest. I've not watched The Family Chantel.
I have not either.
I have not. I've talked about it from the minute it came out. I'll watch Darcy and Stacey at least one episode. Still haven't gone around to it. I think I should at some point just because now I'm hosting this, but I haven't yet. Culty show happens. I feel like that might be the one I have to watch just because I know that the culty one is the one that's probably going to get picked up and more people are going to watch. So we'll see. We'll see the interest. If I get a lot of ads to do it, we'll do it. But trust me when I say that culty's a garbage person, and I will continue to believe that as we go on with or without a spinoff.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. And before we go into the next couple, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. And we're back. Therefore, it's time to talk about the next couple within this part two of the couples tell all reunion thing, whatever you want to call it. Honestly, the whole show's title is a mouthful right now. However, we arrive at Tanya and Sinjin, who, not going to lie, we've really not been seeing a lot of them this whole season. I feel like often, with all the couples there, typically every episode they would cut one couple from the episode completely and bring him in the next. I feel like Tanya and Sinjin were always the one cut the most, next to Paul and Karini, who are just not even in the reunion at all. So what have your thoughts been on Tanya and Sinjin throughout this season?
You know, I'm really interested in their story. And so that was really a shame that they kind of like put them to the wayside, because I feel like their story is one of the most interesting ones. I feel like it doesn't have as much yelling and fighting and I'm going to beat you up and I'm cheating on you. But I do think that like the relationship itself is most intriguing to me, because it's like people deal with these sorts of issues all the time in relationships where it's mm-hmm. like what they want to be together. They, you know, had this like great, you know, what is it called? You know, like a great initial stage of the mm-hmm. relationship where you're like courting each other or whatever. And then, I mean, in this particular case, they were kind of forced to like fast forward. But in so many situations, it's like, okay, are we on the same page? Do we want to have kids? When do we want to settle down? Do we want to settle down? Like, do we want like steady jobs? What does our life look like in the future? And I feel like that's something really interesting to me because, you know, I see where it's tough because I really like Sinjin. I think that his personality is really fun. And like, I can see why he would be frustrated with her at points just because like, you know, she can be a little overbearing and a little controlling, but so can I. And so that's why I very much relate to her as well. Because I feel the same way where it's like, you know, I guess I don't necessarily feel the same way, but I see where she's coming from. We're just like, she's getting up there in age where like, you kind of have to like either have a kid or you don't have a kid, you know? And like, if that's something that you want, you've got to make that happen and be on the same page with your partner. And then the fact that like, he is not pulling it together at all and not like getting a job and not even trying, it's like, or I guess he's trying, but he's not doing it. And it's like, you've got to provide, like we need to be in a partnership together. Like I can't just be doing everything for you. So it's like, and you can tell his friends want them to break up like ASAP.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like they're not good at hiding that. If they're
no, they like are like cheering and like smiling the whole time when they're like fighting. And, you know, and, you know, this segment in particular where, this segment in particular where basically they had her watch the way that he was talking about her. That was devastating. Yes. Because it's like, you hope that like your boyfriend or whatever, your husband would like stand up for you when their friends are like talking bad about you. And it's like, you're sitting there and you're like seeing her face and like seeing her realize that he's not going to stand up for her and that he's going to say he could be happier. Like, oh, I just felt for her.
Yeah, no, it was brutal. This whole like Sinjin and Tanya is very hard to watch for me because I would argue that me and Liana kind of might fall into the Sinjin and Tanya a little bit loosely, and I'll explain where like, you know, the whole thing with them is that Tanya is someone who's, you know, dreamt about the future, and then Sinjin's someone who's not really ever thought about it. This is very parallel to me and Liana, where Liana is, you know, detail oriented. She plans in advance. She kind of knows, she's mapping stuff out actively. You know, this is like kind of where I see this happening. I kind of live in the clouds, and I admit that I live in the clouds. I'm like day at a time. And Liana's like, this is what next year might look like. And I'm like, damn, I'm in October 5th, you know, like that's where I'm at. So it's definitely a thing that we both know about each other, and we're both aware of about each other. And the reason why I see parallels with us is because the place that they did not do well in is something that we do really well in. Their main source of conflict, as self-proclaimed by them, is miscommunication. Before any of our plans for me to move here started formulating, I remember it specifically, we had one day where we literally talked about this for hours. And I was kind of getting some questions thrown my way. Liana was trying to size me up, see what my like future is, what my plans are, how I behave, what situations, what, like it was like, just a battle royale of here's all the situations we could find ourselves in. How would you respond to these? What are your thoughts on these things? And then I would ask her stuff. What are your thoughts on these? Where do you see yourself? What do you want in life? And we got to a point where it's like, you know what? It sounds like everything lines up and we know exactly what the other person's made of, what the other person wants. Enough of everything lines up evenly and matched to the point where, no, this is what we want to do. We're committing to this. This is what's happening. And then I move here, and obviously there's parts of, then there's like different expectations, because now when you move in, it's a bit of a different ball game. It's like, oh, I did not see this being like this. I did not see this being like this from both parties. And then it's a matter of talking about it, figuring out what the middle is, compromising or settling. There's like, you know, no other ways about it. It's like, oh, you like these things done in a particular way and you're not willing to waver. All right. How about I do it like this? Oh no, still not good. Okay. I'll do it the way you're saying. But then the next thing is like, how about this thing? So like, it's a constant communication. It's a constant, like, you know, you have to keep working on it every day. And it's very hard to get through a relationship like this when one side clearly does not want to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. And like, cause like more and more they talked about it, Melissa, Tanya's trying everything she can to keep this.
Yes.
But Sinjin's kind of like, oh, I don't even know. I think if we didn't have to get married, we would have been broken up now. Oh, if she wants me to pick between drinking and her, then I'm going to not be there. And it's like,
yes.
It just felt like I was watching Tanya take daggers more and more and more.
Right.
To the point where, because I also agree that there are parts about the way Tanya's doing all this that isn't good, but I can't help but feel bad for her at this point.
It's interesting because it did seem to switch throughout, what was it, either last season or this season, I don't remember. But
it's flipped.
Yeah, where it was like she went off to her little retreat or whatever.
Yeah, in the middle of the of the 90 days.
In the middle of the 90 days, it was like, okay, what are you doing? And then the fact that he was like lonely and was calling her and being like, hey, what's going on? And she's like, I'm trying to go out with my friends. Like, leave me alone. Be happy for me that I'm going out with my friends. Like, it did seem really one-sided. And then, you know, when she says, I don't know if he's my soulmate or like I already had a soulmate. My soulmate's my ex or whatever she said, like, and he just looked like heartbroken by that. I felt like this is a really one-sided relationship in Sinjin's direction. And now I feel like the tables have completely turned where it's like a one-sided relationship in her direction because, you know, I mean, even with Sinjin saying he wants to like move back to South Africa. And then like when his friends were like, oh, do you guys fit together? And he's like, well, I don't know or whatever. And then when she said it, she's like, yeah, I do think we fit together. So it was just, it's really sad. It does feel like I don't necessarily see them staying together. And it's unfortunate because, you know, I did really like them together sometimes as a couple. It was only really when they were talking about like their future that I felt like, ooh, they really don't match up that well. But other than that, like I did think they were an interesting couple to watch and it's kind of sad to see it deteriorate.
Yeah. And I do think for me, I think the beginning of the end was when Sinjin heard that she doesn't think they're a soulmate level match. And I think that's when he took his foot off the gas. He was like, why did I literally give up everything that I, you know, because it sounds like he literally loved where he was at in life.
Yeah.
Why did I give everything up to be here if they don't see me as a soulmate? And then there was nothing else to do for him but to just, you know, be alone, be sad, be in America. And he hates the cold. He hates the winter. That's the one thing, Sinjin, I get you. 10 years since I've moved from Dubai, the cold still gets me when it starts. I mean, I've grown to love it, though. I'm not going to lie. But ultimately, I get it. But it's funny because I think all of this considered, I feel like, you know, obviously, it's not easy. It's not easy to go through this process, go through all the paperwork, 2 years of waiting. They've been together 2.5 years. He's done the move. It's very hard for a relationship of this nature for either of them to be willing to be like, yeah, I will openly admit that the last 2.5 years was a mistake, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's a commitment and a half. Like you through so much stress, so much long distance, all this drama, go for the interviews, get the paperwork done. Now you're on TV. You have like your life is pretty much archived forever. Do I really want it to go down as, no, I was wrong about my relationship? You don't. So it's hard for them. I get that. But then ultimately, I find myself thinking, well, what now, gang? Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to be simpatico when your friends are actively rooting against you and your parents, like his parents were so rude to her in that even watching the reactions again of like not letting her talk and she's like alone in South Africa, but like no one's rooting for them. They have each other and one half of them isn't rooting for them. So I don't know how they think they're going to survive this. I really don't.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was, Riley, stop it. Sorry. she's going a little crazy. But yeah, I mean, the scenes in South Africa, like were really tough. Cause like it, I don't know. I felt like I absolutely agreed with her, but the way she was like saying it was very a little too much for like a dinner with his parents. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like, she was like yelling and crying, and it's like, okay, this is like not the time or place to be saying this. But it also seemed like he wasn't even listening to her. He wasn't even giving her a chance. And he basically, like, it did seem like when he was in South Africa, he got the confidence to basically say, like, yeah, no, like, I don't want to do what you want to do when I want to stay here. And I want to live here, and I don't want to go. But, you know, it's like, yeah, I feel like he finally felt like he could, like, speak his mind about that sort of thing. But it does seem like, why hasn't he, I mean, why is he still in this relationship if it seems like he already has one foot out the door?
Right. You know? Right. And that's very, because like the thing about him, both him, I would say Andre, even when they go to their hometown, they've like, they amp up the, oh, puff my chest out. I have opinions about everything now, and I'm going to put my foot down. But I don't know. Cause like, here's the thing. I don't think he did this for a green card. Right. I don't think his motive was let me get to America. If anything, he's probably the most vocal castmate to be like, yeah, I want to stay in South Africa. It's too cold in Connecticut. I don't like Connecticut. So I think he's just, you know, I don't even know. I think his whole thing is his identity. To talk about identities a little more, a lot of his identity and what he like felt like made him a person was the individuality, the free spiritedness, right? He lives, his head is in the clouds. That's how he operates. So for him, losing that means losing himself. I don't think he realizes that. Because, you know, a lot of people talk about how marriage or a relationship makes takes you from an I to a we. It's true for some facets of your life, but you don't lose yourself. You're still you. You're still St. John. You're not St. John and Tanya and everything. So I don't think he realizes that. I think he sees that the things that are being asked of him to change will change him to a St. John and Tanya. And I don't think he's willing to take his foot off the gas on that and let it happen.
Totally. And it's sad to see because I was... And I still am, you know, really like interested in their storyline. And it's hard to watch because I do feel like I can see the most similarities in their situation and like my situation. Not that luckily, like, you know, my boyfriend and I are totally on the same page when it comes to all that stuff. But like I could have seen our relationship going that way had he not been, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's like, I do feel bad for her because if I had gotten that reaction from him and that he had basically been like, yeah, I'm not sure if I want to like be together and have kids and stuff, I would be devastated. So I feel for her for sure. And at the same time, like I can get it from his perspective as well.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, the whole like watching the scene back with the roommates and him saying he's in a lust bubble, but then she also kind of agreed they were in a lust bubble. That, like all of that, it's like, okay, you guys, like you guys were, you know, in a place where you were both feeling the love. You're both feeling like this passion for each other. And then maybe you woke up about it a little bit later. But then I want to talk a little bit about this whole drinking thing that was going on. So,
oh, yeah.
The whole, and it was, it got ugly a little bit to me. So the whole thing is they're asked, what are your last three fights been about? And Tanya says drinking, drinking, and drinking. And then St. John replies, well, yeah, I guess it was drinking, drinking, and effing drinking. Like, he gets sarcastic about it. So clearly she has a problem with his drinking is what we're hearing. And we also heard that apparently when he first applied for his work permit, they denied it because of they did a little digging with his former, they contacted his former employer, and they mentioned that, you know, he was drinking on the job or whatever. So he had an incident there, and that caused the denial. So obviously I can see why she's very sensitive on it. It's very clear that when he's drinking, we've seen it multiple scenes, the stuff that they've let on TV, where he gets a lot louder, he gets a lot more blunt, harsh, cruel. So I can only imagine how often that stuff is happening while he's drinking. And I think that the fact that he's not willing to, because here's the thing, he's like, because when he's asked about, do you drink to de-stress? Do you drink for fun? Like, what's the deal? He's like, oh, I don't drink for either of those things. I just drink when, you know, I want to drink. And I'm like, well, that, okay. So yeah, whether I'm gardening or I just want a cold beer, I like that. I like what it does for me. And then a couple of the cast members ask, so would you stop drinking if it came down to drinking or saving your marriage? And he says, no.
Yeah. That's so tough.
Yeah, ultimately for me, that's a big sign of, because like you can start hearing in Tanya's voice that this is a compromise that she would like for him to consider. You know, going back to, you know, it's a give and take. What are we going to have a stance on? Tanya standing firm of, I would like you to stop drinking or minimize your drinking and not have it be as big a part of your life as it is right now. And to go back to Sinjin, individuality, free spirit, my identity, drinking is a part of his identity. He feels like he'll lose himself even more if he does it. And it doesn't help that his friends keep saying that, oh, yeah, Sinjin was more free when we first knew him. And now he's like a little bit more tense and he's a little bit different. So they're making it, you know, they're goading him on in every chance they get. And these are, if these are his like lifelong friends, it's hard for him to, you know, not listen to what they have to say as well. So it's just a whole complicated mess with the two of them.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like with the drinking thing, he gets super defensive about it. And every I feel time. Like that is indicative of someone who has a problem that they would get super, you know, defensive whenever it's brought up and like, I don't have a problem. And it did seem odd to me that they were like, well, what are you like, what are you drinking to like, you know, whatever, like what's the reason for it? And he doesn't have any reason for drinking. Like, I mean, you don't necessarily need like a reason to drink, but like if it's becoming an issue and it's interrupting your life and you don't have like, it's not like you're hanging out with friends or doing it to relax or whatever. You're just like drinking to drink. That's not a great sign. So I do feel for her in that. I mean, I think that there's got to be a compromise there. And it does seem a lot of like, well, I'm independent and I'm not going to listen to you. You're not my mother. You know, I get that vibe from him. And like he probably, it seems like he feels like if he does what she says, then he's like giving into her and giving up part of himself or giving up his independence. And I mean, if someone's if someone's that far into like a drinking issue, like it's bad. Like you need to like step back and like look at yourself and be like, okay, is this what I want for myself? Like this isn't, if you're not drinking when you're like out with friends or like, you know, a glass of wine at dinner and you're just drinking all day long to just drink for no reason, it's not great.
Right. And I think that, you know, with everything that's been going on with them, if this was just I'm cracking open a beer after work to chill, or I'm just having a beer a day, or I'm having a glass of wine a day, I don't think this would come up. The fact that there was something that she said had happened that she would not like to talk about on this reunion tells me that there's a lot more ugliness to this than we're being told. And that she has a reason to be pushing this agenda.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, I think it's hard because I don't think they're going to show like all the issues of someone who has a drinking problem on the show. Like, I think we just have to take her word for it essentially. But at this point, I kind of do take her word for it. I feel like I believe her that he has a problem. And, you know, I'm a little like worried. I feel like I wouldn't know what to do if I was in her position. And to hear somebody say that, like, they would choose drinking over me, that would make me feel sad.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel the exact same way. And I do think that, you know, obviously we don't have the whole, like, we don't, like I said, we're solving a puzzle without looking at the picture. But based on the pieces on the board, I'm starting to feel like I can see what the picture is. Mm-hmm. So I definitely lean with her a little bit more, especially given the scenes that we've seen on the show. Anytime he's been drinking, you know, him going for that interview and then bombing it and then having some pounding the drinks back there.
Oh, yeah.
The lust bubble conversation we just saw, the brew they had, the bri. The brew is just bro. Bri is barbecue. The bri they had with the family. Like every time there's been a bit of drinking involved, he's become louder and negative. So yeah. I can imagine that's kind of the same. Then the other thing that was the biggest issue for me before we move on from this couple is they were asked how long, like, you know, he said that he didn't want to waste another 2 years on this relationship. And at most, he would want a year to see where things go. And even then he's worried. Having that kind of mentality is so damaging to a relationship.
Oh, totally. You're setting yourself up for failure. Like if you're just like, well, I'm going to give it a couple more months or a year or whatever and see how it works out. Like you're already looking for problems. Like the point should be not I'll give another year. The point should be like, what can we do to improve this? What can we do together to make this better? And if we don't see a way that we can And if we don't see a path forward for us, then end it now, especially with her concerns about, you know, being able to have children. Like, there is a set time limit when you can have kids. I mean, we see that with Angela and Michael, you know, they should be taking that into consideration. And I mean, it's just, it's like, don't waste any more time than you need to. If you don't see a future for yourselves, or you don't want a future, you don't want to find a way to work it out, then like, it's better to just cut your losses and move on.
Yeah. And I think ultimately, that's one of the biggest things, is the minute you start acting like when you say, I'll give it a year. It's like, I've given TV shows that I'm not sure about 2 seasons. Like, are you joking me? Like,
yeah.
And that's a low end commitment. I can dip whatever I want from a show. This is a whole commitment. Like, yeah. Okay.
And it takes a lot out of you too, to like be in a bad relationship.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, you just are sitting there and everything's great. And then you're like, oh no, we're just going to go. Like, clearly there are things that are going wrong, and clearly they're not happy together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they shouldn't waste any more time on this, you know, if that's the case, unless they really want to make it work. And that's something that they need to actively work on together. And you can't do that if one of the parties already is ready to go.
Yeah. And ultimately, the last question I have for you before we move is big, big question. Do you think we're going to see Tanya and Sinjin back on 90 Day Fiancé, one of the iterations after this season?
I would like to see them again, but I don't think we will, just because it seemed like they didn't even really care about their storyline this season. Mm. And I did feel like it was an important storyline. So it's weird that they just didn't seem to focus on it at all. And the fact that they didn't focus on it makes me think that they just didn't find it interesting.
Yeah, I think that because of the fact that we didn't see them as much as we did, I lean the same way. Honestly, I haven't looked it up or anything, but I could, you know, I could see them seriously considering divorce at this point. I really could. So
yeah, I think that if they do decide to get divorced, and that, or like, or he wants to get a divorce from her or something, like, maybe they'd bring them back because there'd be something new, and there'd be, right, it'd be interesting to see like that process, or like what happens with that. Mm-hmm. But I think that if everything just stays the same, or if they mutually agree to like separate, I don't know if we'd see that.
Yeah. And it's important to note for me that given that we're still, the pandemic still well underway, and TLC has a tendency of continuing to give us 90 Day Fiancé content even when we least expect it, I feel like they would still give us some kind of continuing show where it's like, okay, let's see where these couples are, because obviously we're getting the 90 Day Strikes Back, the Happily Ever After edition, which is essentially the couples reacting to scenes and clips from the show they were just on. So they're gonna keep giving us these couples. I think we'll see more of them. I just don't think we're gonna see them on like a whole new season down the line, probably.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So before, we're about to move in to the segment that we should rename to Melissa Does Not Care, but I'm very excited to talk about it. I'm just going to quickly gloss over the random sex questions that happened, which was uncomfortable. So yeah, real quick, I'm just going to almost read a script here. Has the pandemic been a better or worse time for being intimate? And then it basically became a competition between the couples of, oh, we do it many times a week. So Andre and Libby, 5 times. Tanya Sinjin, 4 times. Eric Larissa, 4 to 5 times. And then the one thing I want to talk about here is Colt getting angry at Larissa for saying that Eric's the better lover, which honestly, even if she's lying, there is no benefit to her saying Colt in that situation.
Wait, what
whatsoever.
Else did she say?
Yeah. In what world is she going to be like,
say your ex-boyfriend was a better lover than your current boyfriend? Like, yeah, no, you're not going to say that. He
Never.
Needs to like understand that that is normal for her to say.
And I like that he's freaking out because he's like, so I love to do this. Okay. But Larissa, you didn't want to do anything, and Jess, you wanted it all the time. So let me know, am I doing it enough or I'm not doing it enough? And I was like, okay, Colt, calm down.
Yeah. Don't. It's like, just like, why are you even asking this? This is so private. Like, I just feel like it's so weird to me that they just like bring this up and like brag about how many times they're doing it. It's like, I really don't want to hear it at all.
I've never been interested. I've never, you know, in the history of my TV watching history, been like, I wonder how intimate these couples are getting. That's never on my mind, let alone like quantity. Like, I don't care. Like, do what you're doing to your own discretion, or non-discretion if you're not discreet about it. But that's your life. That's not my life.
Like, I have no interest in that. And I don't think it makes for compelling TV either, to be honest.
Yeah. And then just in case you're someone who's only been following the podcast and not watching the show, I would just like you to know that Michael and Angela allegedly 38 times in 2 weeks. Okay. Now we can move on. Mm-hmm. Now, okay. So speaking of Michael and Angela, that's where we're going next. I'm hesitant to ask you this, but Melissa, what do you think about Michael and Angela throughout this season?
I just I'm so uninterested in their storyline. I don't find her to be entertaining. I know that she goes for I'm the loud woman who makes all the jokes and who's in charge here and I wear the pants. And it's I just have no interest in that. And it's I don't know. I just feel he's just it's their whole storyline is he says something, she gets mad about it. And then they make up. He apologizes to her and they make up. And then he says something else and she gets mad about it or she's loud about something. It's there's just the constant baby talk or whatever. Oh, well, we need to have a kid or whatever. And it's if that's what you wanted, go find a young lady. You know what I mean? Don't find someone who is clearly over childbearing age, who would have severe complications likely if she did try and have a child. And then also don't try and force your daughter to have a kid for you. That is so bizarre. The whole storyline is just so strange to me. I don't know what they're getting out of it. I don't see that they're in love, so I have no idea what they're getting out of it. And it just confuses me. It really baffles me.
So, yeah, I am done with seeing Michael and Angela on my TV. They've been around for far too long at this point. I think this is the third season they're on. Let's see, before the 90 Day, I think there was they were on The Other Way one time. This is either third or fourth, Melissa. So I'm done with them. It's enough is enough. Literally, and here's the thing. I understand that they have their story has some interesting what's going to happen points. But ultimately, for me, it's been rinse and repeat the same issue all over again. Mm-hmm. I can't stand when Angela freaks out on Michael and doesn't let him speak to the point where he has two choices, apologize or relationship's over. Because it's very toxic. I think that Michael has made it very clear that she's made it clear that she has a requirement that's unbreakable, and he's made it clear that he has one that's unbreakable, right? So what happens is we have Angela being like, you can't speak with other women. Basically, that's what it is, right? Don't message them, don't look at them, don't breathe next to them, don't talk to them, don't no contact, right? Michael's been, I want a kid. And that's all Michael has said for the longest time. It's one thing that I've seen him ever say is, I want a child. So this whole reunion, her and she set this condition of the only way we're having a kid is if my daughter, who hates your guts and does not want me to have a kid with you, gives us her egg, which is never going to happen. So
no,
she set him up in this unwinnable condition where that's the only way he can get the one thing he wants. And he's not gonna. So then she's going to pressure him and say, well, what happens when we want to travel and we want to do this and we're going to spend money on the IVF? It's like, Angela, you knew what he wanted this whole time.
Right. Exactly. It's like they both shouldn't be together knowing that that's what the other person wants. You know, they should have ended this long ago. I mean, that sort of thing is a deal breaker, having kids or not having kids, just like we're seeing with Tyson's engine. You know, it's like, that's a deal breaker. And if it's not even at this point that she isn't really interested in having kids, is that she physically can't. So that is something even worse than a normal situation where someone is oh, I want to have kids. I don't want to have kids. This is she physically can't have kids. And she's, and there's also the requirement of oh, I want my daughter's egg or whatever. So it's just, it's so bad. And it puts the daughter in such a bad position. I mean, when his sister or whatever was begging to her, that was so uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, it was big yikes all around. And I do think there's obviously the big deal breakers in a relationship, right? Some people are like, well, if we can't move back to where my family is, it's a no for me. Or I have to move here for my job. If you can't roll with, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, I just can't do long distance for a year. It's a problem. I can't have kids is a big, big problem or I don't want kids because that is something that is a lifetime commitment of raising a family. If you don't want to raise a family, the other one does. Like, you genuinely have to look at, one of you has to settle. One of you has to accept that fate. And the fact that this has been Michael's one, this is my one condition, makes me throw doubt into everything. Because I think for the longest time, Michael on social media and other places has been accused of doing this for a green card, marrying Angela for the green card. And for years, I've said, no, Michael genuinely likes her. No one would put up with this level of nonsense for a green card. And now that he also can't have a kid, I feel like this is where probably they're going to have their biggest problem and biggest obstacle. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going to happen here with them. I genuinely can't stand Angela. Like I've said, reunion Angela is the worst. All she does is yell and she's like, I'm not going to obey nobody. It's like, listen, everyone knows a relationship is a partnership. Everyone knows it. It's not a solo dance. It's a tango. You're doing it together. So don't act like he's going to be demanding when he's literally done nothing but be by your side and deal with your nonsense, even when he shouldn't, every step of the way.
Oh yeah. There's no way I could be in a relationship with her. She's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, big time. And then, having Skyla come on and she literally wants nothing with this relationship. She would rather this relationship burn to the ground. And then to throw it to Michael and be like, Michael, why can't you accept it? Why can't you do this for her when she is, she's done this stuff for you and she's married you. It's like, no, you're literally putting it on him. That's not fair. What did you feel about the accusation that Michael wants an anchor baby? He wants a baby with her so that the baby has American citizenship so he can move to the States.
I feel like I don't believe that. It's hard for me to understand their motivations just because I don't understand this relationship at all. I don't see what either of them see in each other. So it's hard for me to fully make pass judgment on what each of them wants because I really truly don't understand it. So I don't know. It could be that, but it doesn't seem likely. I mean, it is odd to me that he keeps asking for a kid from someone who clearly can't have a kid.
Right. And I do think that it's just, we're at this point because my thing is, I don't understand. So initially I thought Angela's whole reasoning was, well, I want the baby to have my DNA too. And I'm like, oh, that's sweet. Okay. I kind of maybe get it. But then the whole 90 argument, I don't want, you're going to have a baby with someone else and they're going to be around in their 90 and you're going to be aroused. I was like, this is just your insecurity talking. I don't know what else we can say about them, Melissa, aside from the fact that I don't think this is a good relationship for either of them. Mm-hmm. I think that because they haven't been able to bring Michael to the States yet, they are in a position where they can decide whether or not they're going to sever ties. Because now that all this is happening, his aunt isn't happy. His family's not going to be happy. They all said, we'll support you, Michael, because we love you. But if Michael's not getting what Michael wants, and they need to stop putting it on the family. Oh, the family wants him to have a baby. Michael also wants a baby himself. So if Michael can't have this baby, he's well within his rights to end it. But I think Michael's not going to end it. I think Michael loves her and he's too, he's too nice to back out at this point. So I'm worried.
Yeah, I think he's also too nice to be forceful about it too. I don't feel like he's the type to give an ultimatum or whatever and say look, I really want to have a kid. So either we're going to have a kid together or I can't be in this relationship and I'm going to need to find someone who I can have a kid with. I don't see him saying that, even though that's probably what he should be saying.
Right. And I do think that, we saw Skyla get a lot of support from the Fed because literally Angela's being unfair by putting all this pressure on her daughter and then basically more pressure on her husband to be like, hey, my sweet daughter, you're going to get begged by my husband and all his family to do this. And if you don't, it's on you. It's not on me, is nonsense. Like,
oh, yeah,
I felt bad. And I think that is the what Angela fails to see is that this is also putting more of a strain on Skyla and Michael's relationship with one another. So she wants her family to accept Michael. You're making it harder day in, day out.
Does she not understand how strange of a request that is? Like, it's one thing to give your egg to somebody who is not in your life and living in your house or whatever. Like, it's one thing to give an egg to someone like a gay couple or something who can't have children and you don't know them, but you're like donating an egg, or maybe you do know them, but you know, you don't live with them and they're not, you wouldn't be like, basically, like they said, like living with this kid that is your kid, but you're acting like a sister. Like, it's just super, it's such a strange position, and I wouldn't agree to it.
Right. Right. Well, like, I think that for me, the most easiest option, or the clear option, based on the fact that, you know, the whole first of all, yeah, I feel like the egg and the, you know, the getting the egg from your daughter, but then you raise the kid, but then she kind of knows like it's part of her. It's going to be a hard thing to come to terms with for her. It's going to be a hard thing for them to come to terms with. And it's going to be a hard thing to explain to your kid in the future. Mm-hmm. Right. It's kind of like the Phoebe Buffay of it all. When Phoebe has the triplets for Frank.
Yeah.
It's like they agreed to it, but even Phoebe was having a tough time with it for a minute. Right.
Yeah. So she didn't want to give them away.
Exactly. So like, well, I don't know how you understand this is going to be a problem. And if she doesn't want the DNA of another person mixed with the DNA of her husband, adoption. I feel like adoption is a good step. I think Michael's made it very clear he wants this. I think Michael would work hard for it. Unlike Asuelu, Michael would put in the elbow grease needed to raise a child. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand. And I think that, you know, it would bring them closer together. I think that's something, if she's willing to have Skyla give them an egg to tote the baby, and I hate saying tote, but she keeps saying it, so now it's a thing. Then if she's willing for Skyla to have give them something to tote the baby, that means she's open to having a baby with him. So therefore, adopting a baby is not outside of insanity to me.
It does seem to me like she's kind of stringing him along, because it does seem like she doesn't want to have a kid. But like, mm-hmm. she's keeps saying these things that make it sound like, well, I'd be willing to have a kid if X, Y, and Z happened.
Right.
And so then he's like, oh, okay, so she is willing to have a kid, but really, in her mind, she's like, well, X, Y, and Z will never happen. So like, I don't think we're going to, like, it just seems like, I feel bad for him, because I think the reason why he's staying in this relationship is because she keeps giving him false hope.
Yeah, and every time we get closer to a position where there looks like to be a solution of like, oh my God, maybe they can have a baby, or maybe they're in a position where they could fix it, Angela gets mad at him and storms off and loses her mind, right? Because when Michael's like talking about how maybe we could have a baby the other way, let's revisit the stuff that we said we wouldn't do, because this is the way you promised me we could do it, and then you couldn't deliver that, she freaks out on him. So we'll see where they go. Honestly, I'm not going to lie, a lot of Angela's behaviors scream, I want my spinoff, give me my spinoff. I think she thinks she's worth it. I think she wishes she was the Darcy, where she gets her own show. So are we going to see them again? I think we are. If there's still a couple, we're definitely seeing them again.
God, I hope not.
Same. Because if this season was any indicator, their storyline is over. It's the same stuff all over again. I want a baby. Well, I don't know if we can have a baby. Yelling. That's you looked at a woman. I didn't look at a woman. Yelling.
Yelling.
I'm going to talk about our sex life. You're going to feel uncomfortable. Yelling.
Like, yeah. Seriously. That's literally what it is.
Yeah. So
there's no intrigue there.
Yeah. I've had my fair share of them. It's enough. I'm done. I think they peaked with the whole, I did the BJ storyline back in the day. So it's enough. We need to put an end to the Angela of it all. Angela needs to not be on the show anymore. Also, I just realized that Angela and Michael, same first names as Angela and Mike Bloom. So that's weird. Just notice that. Yeah. My world shattered live. Okay. Now, is there anything else you want to speak on before we leave, Melissa? Because obviously there's a couple couples here we haven't really talked about because they weren't on the episode, but I've been waiting for your take. So if you have any take, Let's go.
Yeah, I feel like we can go quick through, you know, through a few of them. I do want to talk about Elizabeth and Andre, because their storyline was always really interesting to me, because I feel like I had a completely different view of it than everyone else. Now, to be fair, I do feel differently now, but for the majority of the time I saw them, I was always siding with the family, because I thought Andre was totally insufferable. I thought he was misogynistic and horrible to her. And I did feel like they were right in that she kind of like shrunk whenever she was with him and let him basically control her. And just, you know, he was just awful. I just hated him.
So can I quickly ask, you're saying that your opinion changed. When did it change? Because I'm very curious about this answer.
It changed when the family went to Moldova. And I felt like they were really disgusting. When they talked about the culture, and when they immediately put the whole place down while they were there, and while they like were like, oh, this is like a slum, or this is peasant food or whatever, and like, oh, I'm not going to eat this. All that stuff was just totally inappropriate. It shows that they're not cultured. They're not well-traveled. They're not like, they don't respect other cultures. And it just made me really grossed out. I felt really bad watching it. You know, their comments about like, oh, did you guys even have like Walmart here or whatever they asked? Like, it's like, what are you doing? That is so... It really just bummed me out. So I did not like them during that. I didn't like the brother at the wedding and all that sort of stuff. But prior to that, I did think that Andre was really insufferable, and he, you know, was basically using the father, but didn't want to admit that he was using the father. And the father was giving him the money and doing this and that for him, but just Andre wouldn't like give the father any respect and wouldn't, you know, wouldn't actually treat the father as doing anything for him. It was really, really bad. And I just felt that he wasn't respectful of the family. I felt like I totally get, you know, what the sisters were saying, where it's like, our family's really close. Like, you know, we want to take this sister, or we want to take Libby on like a trip to Las Vegas or whatever. Like, we should be able to do that. You shouldn't have to be like aware of her whereabouts, you know, and she shouldn't have to check in with you. The whole thing was just... I absolutely sided with the family up until more recently.
Yeah, no, and I think that is not the incorrect take. I think for me, I was always a little bit of like, all of you suck, but definitely I was more on the, yo, Andre really sucks. And that's before we started seeing, because like, we didn't really see much from Charlie. We didn't really see much from Jen all that much. It was mostly like, at most, it was Chuck, the father, and that was it. And Chuck, the father, is clearly financing half their living, more than half their living situation, while Andre's trying to go through a career crisis of, I want to drive a nice truck. No, I want to be a handyman. No, I don't know what I want, but I need money. We need money. But I'm also the man of the household, even though I'm not going to provide what the traditional role would speak on that. So like, it was a hot mess, and he sucked the whole way through. Then... Yeah. In Moldova, he still sucked when we first got there, because he was like, oh, I'm the big man. And like the first four episodes, it was all him being like, your dad needs to pay for the wedding. Tough that your family won't be there. I want this. We're doing this because I say so. I promise my family. And like, that was still hard to watch. But then her family genuinely, it's like they had like a 28-3 lead on not sucking.
I know, they blew it.
Oh my God. And then by the end of the series, like 50-28, like they
it was so bad. It was so bad, and it just like they did not handle that whole thing well. It sucks for them, really, because they were doing pretty well. Like, I was sympathizing with them, and I was like, Andre needs to leave, like, he's awful. And then now I'm kind of like, oh boy, like, this whole thing is awful. And to be fair to them, like, I would absolutely question why he left Moldova and like what the circumstances for that was, because he was being super cagey about it. And I would absolutely feel the need to know about that if it was my sibling's husband. Like, I would want to know the details. And the fact that Elizabeth didn't know the details either, I think that's really concerning. And I think that it's clear that something happened. And the fact that the brother said he didn't know either, it was like, what happened? Like, just be upfront and honest. And I think that to say that the family shouldn't have a right to know about that is wrong. I think that the family does have a right to know. Like, if he is a criminal or something, like, obviously, I don't think that's the case. But if he is a criminal, they should be able to know that, you know, or they should at least be able to know that he's not a criminal. So I do feel like that whole situation was like, it was bad because it was like, if you have nothing to hide, then just say why you left, you know?
Yeah. So I guess my thing there is that I agree with the fact that he left Libby in the dark about all that. I think he should have told Libby. But once Libby knew, I feel like it is no longer the family's business, especially because upon digging, both Chuck and Charlie have criminal records, right? So then I'm like,
do they?
Yeah, both of them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, this family is a whole bag of trash.
Like, wow. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. No, they're both like, they're both horrible humans. So for them to be like high and mighty is a little bit much. And I think that it was at that point in the storyline where I started feeling a little bit more sympathetic towards Andre, because the more and more they pressed, it was like, okay, I'm starting to think less and less that it's a, like a big criminal thing he did. I don't think he did anything wrong. I think he was chased out the country. That makes sense to me. And then when he confessed everything to Libby over on that rooftop or the balcony or whatever before they entered the house, that's when I was like, okay, now he's like, he's done everything he needed to. That's good. And like, they
but
can
did
move
Libby
on.
Ever tell the family, like, okay, either tell them this is what happened or tell them, like, look, he did explain to me everything and you have nothing to worry about?
I'm like, pretty sure
she ever
must
tell them.
Yes, because like that happened before the wedding, right? So that happens before the wedding. And at the wedding, it seemed like at the very least, Chuck was being very civil.
I thought he did a good job at the wedding. I mean, obviously the brother was terrible, but I did think that like, I liked the sentiment of like, look, like we're literally at the wedding. Now is not the time for any of this.
Exactly. And I thought, and like that for me, the whole wedding episode arc is where I really was like, respect to Andre. He's handling this really well. I'm happy that he's not just laying Charlie out clean on the dance floor. Like,
yeah,
it takes a lot. So I like that he handled himself well there. And I did genuinely, I believe him when he says that he wants to amend things with Chuck moving forward. And then in the reunion stuff, I think that ultimately Andre still has a hard time divorcing traditional gender roles with power and with the fact that, oh, like these aren't cookie cutter roles. This isn't the 50s. Like, we've evolved. We've evolved as humans in the sense that we no longer think that way. We're not like, it's stupid to think that way because, you know, it's a different time in the world. Like, not everyone's just going to fit into these molds that you've been convinced your whole life. So, and I think he's in this weird place where he's starting to understand that, but he can't let it go. Right. So he's like, I'm the stay-at-home father, but I'm still the head of the family. So therefore I should control the family. It's like, no, maybe it's a partnership. How about that? Yeah. Maybe it's a 50-50.
Exactly. Libby is doing way more for the family than he is. And like, I don't think there's any problem with having him be a stay-at-home dad if that is what they both want and if that is something that they've decided on. But you know, for him to be like, oh, I'm a stay-at-home dad, but I'm all, and you're giving all the money, but I'm also in charge of everything and I make all the decisions and I like, I'm the man of the house. It's like, okay, like maybe that's not really the right answer. I feel like he needs to either if he wants to like make, I don't know. I feel like they should split responsibilities. And I do think that he should go and get a job because it does seem to me that she is not interested in being the sole breadwinner. You know, it does seem to me that she wants him to get a job and he should get a job. And it's been a whole process. I think she needs to go find somebody else, to be honest, but I don't know. Maybe her family's just like a problem and he's a problem. And it did seem like his family was the one group that was fine.
Yeah, his family was lovely. I had no problem with any of them.
Like the brother and everything. Like he seemed great. And he was just like, look, like let's not have drama. Like let's, you know, try and get along. Like it did seem like everyone was kind of, and his dad was great. And, you know, I don't know. It's that whole situation. I feel like I'm so torn on it now because I think if you had asked me like last season or whatever, or even at the start of this season, I would have been like, Andre's monster and her poor family.
Right. No, and it's funny how things change where it's like, well, all of you suck, but then now this family's like, hold my beer. I'm going to show you exactly who sucks more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I do think that 90 Day Fiancé does a pretty interesting job of this, of kind of changing who is the sympathetic figure each
right.
season. I feel like I remember this with Anfisa and George, like where I hated her at first and I felt very sympathetic towards him. I mean, I did think he was like an idiot and had gotten himself into a bad situation where it's like, she clearly doesn't love you. Like, what are you doing? But then right. like, then the next season I felt super sympathetic towards her. And I felt like, oh my God, like he's a monster. So I do think it's very interesting how it can change from season to season. And like some of these couples who are only on for one season, they come back and like the whole narrative has shifted.
Yeah, no. And it's weird because I feel like, you know, with them, with Andre and Libby, with Oswelu and Kalani, like I've had my opinions change. And I think Tanya and Sinjin, even to an extent, my opinions coming into leaving this season have changed on what it was initially. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I would like to end this Andre talk with like, hey, Andre, remember when you guys split the bread and the tradition is whoever gets the bigger piece is the head of the family? Well, first of all, it was 50-50. Second of all, her piece was a little bit bigger. So you should
so keep that in mind.
Yeah. Keep that in mind next time you're trying to like huff and puff and be all like bad boy about everything. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So then who else is, and I'm having a hard time, I guess Paul and Karini is the other couple we haven't talked about here.
Yeah. She, I mean, I feel bad for her. He's, oh God. Like he, if I was in her situation, I'd be like, get me out of here right now. Like I feel so bad for her. I just feel like, I mean, I don't know about them from before the season because I didn't see them. So I have no idea what their drama is or whatever. All I see is like, she moves to America and he like, literally can't provide for her. I mean, yes, he has like a criminal record or whatever. And I know that that makes it very hard to get a job. Like, but you should know that coming in, either have a job lined up or like, don't come back to America if that's going to be an issue. Like, I mean, she can't get a job. She's taking care of a kid. Like, you have to think of your kid as well. And if you can't find a job or provide for anyone and your family is not willing to take you in, like, it's just going to be a bad situation for you.
Yeah. No, exactly. And like, you know, with everything that went on there, when your own mom is calling you a deadbeat, like you're not doing a good job.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah.
And I do want to like just like quick rapid fire through a couple like other figures that like aren't maybe on this season, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, like, okay. So like, I don't know if your viewers have like know of all these people, but I just really want to get this off my chest. Eric and Lita. Eric is a terrible father.
Oh my God. Don't get me started on Eric and Lita.
Oh my God. Like, we already knew Lita was bad and very selfish and totally self-absorbed and like literally only cares about her own child. But like, poor Tasha, like I felt so bad for her and Eric just did not do her right at all. That poor girl. Like he is an awful father and there's no getting around it. I was like, do not go to his wedding. Like, you're doing the right thing by not showing up because he doesn't deserve it. And it's just a total nightmare. So I just want to throw that one out there. And then Stephen and Olga, Stephen was absolutely awful to her. You know, this poor girl, she just had a baby and he's like, you're not paying attention to me. You're only caring about the child and yourself. It's like,
he was a big baby.
You think? And I get it. He's young. You know, there's that. And maybe they're doing fine now. I don't know. But Ashley and Jay, I like literally have a list here. Ashley and Jay, like poor Ashley. Like I felt so bad for her. Like he cheated on her and he was like, I mean, it's just, I just felt so bad. But why did she get back together with him? I don't understand it. I get that he was there for her when she felt sick or whatever, but, or when she was in the hospital or whatever, but like, come on. It was just such a bad situation. And couple that I did like Fernanda and Jonathan. I do think that they really loved each other and I thought that they were good together. I feel like David and Annie, their situation just got worse and worse and worse. And then his son gets shot in the face. And it was just like, what are you for real right now? And I have a question for you. Do you think Azin is playing Nicole?
Azin? Yeah. It's like the biggest long con in the history of 90 Day.
It's like she's so naive and she just is willing this to happen. Like she wants him to be in love with her and she wants them to be like And it's just like turn after turn, he's proving to her that he does not care about her at all and that he's using her for like money or whatever. And the fact that there was no store after they were saying there was going to be a store and all that. And then, you know, another couple that I like is Russ and Paula. I do like them. Mm-hmm. I know they've had their issues and everything, and I really hate her friend. I forgot his name. But, you know, overall, I do like them as a couple. And then Robert and Annie, when he takes her to Goodwill. And, oh my God.
Goodwill dresses.
I was like, are you for real right now? You're taking this girl to Goodwill to go buy her clothes. That is totally, like, at least, God, if you can't afford it, take her to Forever 21 or something. Like, I feel
get
like.
Get her a new dress.
And like, I mean, for real. Like, look, nothing against shopping secondhand. I think you can find a lot of great stuff there. Shop secondhand, etc. But like, if you're like, look, I'm going to take you out and buy you something nice, don't take her to Goodwill.
Right. Like, even if you, in fact, do buy her something, I think there's an amazing high-end designer dress there at a fraction of the price. Still, the sentiment that you took her to a secondhand store, it does not speak great to you.
No, exactly. And then he's like, he takes her to that apartment to go like view it. And then she's like, I love it. I want it. And he's like, yeah, we're not getting it. Like, oh, I thought you didn't want an apartment. I was just showing you what's available when we do. It's like, what? Like, are you serious? You're having her sleep in your bed with your child? Like, that is so inappropriate as well, to have the three of them sharing a bed. Like, just buy the kid a little twin bed. That whole situation was so bad. And then, okay, so whose side are you on for Chantel and Pedro?
I hate that family. Pedro's, like, here's the thing. Chantel's family, horrible. Kind of scary at times. Pedro doesn't want to be there. That's kind of how my read has been. But also, mind you, I've not watched The Family Chantel. So if anything's been developing.
No, I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, I've been out of the picture there. But I remember leaving them the last time. I was like, Pedro, you don't want to be here. And Chantel, like, he doesn't want to be here. And Chantel's family, you need to stop being involved.
I feel bad for Chantel. And I feel I side with her family. I think that his family is a total nightmare and they're just awful. And I think that her family is, I think they play into the awfulness. Like, I think they purposefully play it up. Like, oh, we're going to hire an investigator and all that sort of stuff. Like, I do think that they play that up. But I think overall, I think that they are right and that Pedro should not be with Chantel. I think Chantel should not be with Pedro. And I think that his family, I think there is something sinister behind like his family and like them wanting money and them wanting, I don't know. Do you believe it when they say it was the mom's doing that they like hooked Chantel and Pedro up so that Pedro could go to America?
I mean, it's possible, right? I mean, it's very possible because, like, to me, his family kind of reminds me of Asuelu's family in a way. Where like they kind of seem like they have no interest in that, in the coupling at all, right? They've like, it's all for a greater mean for them,
right?
So I could definitely see that being the case potentially with them.
If it came out that this was like masterminded by the mom, like I would not be shocked. I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, Melissa, I want to say, so given how you're coming out the gate here, you got all these couples you want to talk about, you need to watch The Other Way so you can come back and talk with me more about 90 Day.
I know, I've got like so many opinions on everything. Well, I feel bad because I just literally just like spouted everything off. One more thing I do want to say is I like Lauren and Alexi or whatever the guy's name is, but everybody online hates her. And I always sympathize with her and I always felt like she meant well. And I thought she was like nice and funny. And like, I don't know why people online hated her so much. And it made me very sad to see that she got so much hate.
Yeah, well, you know, they have a baby together now. They're in a good place now. Initially, you know, the love wasn't there for them. The love was not there for them.
No, that's true.
Yeah, but I totally see what you're saying.
I will stop. I will stop.
No, I mean, I was not asking you to stop. I was just saying that, let me get it in the middle of this, that I would like for you to catch up with The Other Way and come back for sure, because I have a lot of couples in this season of The Other Way that I want your takes on. So...
I will definitely work on it. No, I want to. I need to get started on that. I was like working very hard to get caught up on this one. So that is the next step.
Yeah. So, and like the thing is with the other way, I think, let's see, are there, I think there's two couples that come back into the second season, which is what we're covering at the moment. But the beauty of it is that those episodes are half the runtime of a Happily Ever After. So for every two, the other ways, you're watching an episode of Happily Ever After. So that's good.
See, that's definitely good. Yeah. These ones are long for no reason. They just repeat themselves over and over. And so it's like, you could really cut like half of this episode.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, I watch quite a 90 Day Fiance. I watch it with a little bit of a higher speed and I don't really miss anything. It works out real great.
Really?
Yeah.
That's I watch it. I should do that.
Yeah, no, honestly, and I never used to, you know, I with podcasts was the same thing. I used to listen to podcasts at one speed. And then one day I tried 1.5 for podcasts. I'm like, you know what?
It's a whole new world.
Yeah, I'm not missing anything. I'm understanding everything. I can listen to another podcast after this, win. And then I started doing that with, because I mean, when we first started covering 90 Day, it was an episode of Happily Ever After and an episode of The Other Way. So I had to watch about 2 hours and change worth of content and take notes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I gotta
speed it up a little bit, but no, it works out. So what's it called? Definitely. I would recommend checking out The Other Way, because if you enjoyed Happily Ever After enough to want to come here and talk about it, I know you're going to enjoy The Other Way, because it's definitely the more fun franchise at the moment.
Yes, I definitely want to check it out. I got so confused at first, to be honest, when everybody was talking about 90 Day Fiance and I hadn't watched any of it. And then I was like, you know what? I should get started. And I went to go look at it and it was like all these different spinoffs and all these different, I wasn't sure if I should start with before the 90 days and then you move into 90 Day Fiance or if that came later. So I like had to figure all that out. Like what comes first, what comes second? And I think I did it right, but you know, you never know.
I mean, it plays out like a bit of like the Marvel Cinematic Universe where there is an order to all this. ultimately, it's not necessary, to be honest, because of the way we've been watching 90 Day. Like they literally repeat the history over and over. So, yeah. And like, it's not as like dire as like a competition series where it's like, oh, I got to see who won and who lost. Like, it's like, oh, I didn't know this bit of backstory about the relationship, but they'll make it really clear really quick. So even then, you don't have to watch them in order unless you're like a completionist that has to do it that way. But obviously, you know, I've got your back if you need the episodes or if you need the order, I've got you.
That would be very helpful because I'm going to be honest, it's a lot harder to watch on the TLC website where all those commercials play and you watch 7 commercials in between each commercial break. Yeah.
No, I got your back. I'll give you the links to not watch, them uninterrupted. Yeah, for sure.
That's exactly what I need.
yeah, but this was so much fun, Melissa. Yeah, I'm really happy you came through.
I know. I'm so glad we finally get to do this. This has literally been in the works for like months now.
Yeah. And it's cultivated here to the point where we talked about a lot more couples. And now I'm even more excited for you to catch up with The Other Way so that we could talk more about these couples as we go on.
Yes, definitely.
So then to leave your plugs here, where can people find you? What are you up to? What's going on?
I'm at It's Melissa with 3 A's on all social media platforms. And I just posted the newest Drunk History episode, which is Dan's funeral. And so people should go check that out. There's a link to it in my Twitter or on my Twitter. But, you know, you can also just search Melissa Denny and YouTube and find it.
Phenomenal. Yeah, that's been a fun series. I mean, I'm keen to see where we go next.
I know. It's one of those things where it's like, I want to do another one, but I'm dreading the actual filming of it because it's just so bad for me. But, you know, hopefully within like the next month, I'll be willing to do it again. But, I do really enjoy the final product. So that's good.
I can't wait.
I got the LFC roundtable tomorrow. I forgot about that. So that is happening. We're going to, you know, get into the stock watch and all that good stuff.
Get the ratings going. Yeah, I'm not doing so well this season. Not gonna lie.
I'm actually doing better than I normally do, but that's not saying much because I'm only doing like mediocre at best. But, you know, normally I do terribly. So at least I'm beating Brent.
Yeah, I had the mistake of doing well my first time, and now I've just been disappointing myself every other time. So
yeah, I feel like I'm always going to go up just because I started so bad and so low. Then now it's like anything I do is just a triumph, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think the move for me is I need to, the next time it happens, or even this season, I need to lose everyone. I need to have $0. I need to get bankrupt so that I'm just building myself back up again. I think that's
so that it turns into like a funny joke. Like, oh, Pooya, you know, you're doing so terribly. Now, next time, it's like, oh, wow, you're really doing great. You have one stock. You're like $1.
Exactly.
And then it just keeps going up and up.
Up and up. As far as things going up and up, you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, twitch.tv. It's Pooyaism for all three. I am back at it again with more Masked Singer content coming your way. Season 4 has been going. We had episode 2 happen. There was a bit of a bizarre situation there. Me and Liana broke all of it down over on the Masked Singer Rap Up podcast. So you can check that out. And then also, you can find me also giving my big brother takes back on the morning live feed update for Friday. That's right. Pooya Fridays will be back once again this week. And if you are enjoying this podcast, if you would kindly leave a rating or a view, that would be much appreciated. It helps people find the podcast easier. It gives me good feedback. I can learn what you like, what you may not like, and how we can improve the product moving forward. You can do that over on robaswebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 9, the number 0 day fiance. And honestly, any and all feedback. If it's 5-star, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. If it's 4-star, we're cool. If it's 2-star, it's fine. If it's 1 and you're calling me a deadbeat like Paul, I'll be sad in my heart, but I still appreciate the feedback all the same. Thank you so much for being on this Hot Mess Express today. We're at the destination. Time to get off the platform, and we will talk to you real soon with part 3 of this long, long couples tell-all. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.